Welcome to the Gripcast Gymnastics Unfiltered. I'm your host, Tamille Jones. This is our platform to where we can discuss the ins and outs of everything gymnastics. We would like to thank our sponsors, Anchor, Gymnast United, Inc., and Pope Counseling Center for supporting this podcast. Today, we'll be reading from our devotional, the 365-day devotional, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace with His Presence by Sarah Young, just a portion of it. I want my body of believers to be radiant with the light of my presence. How I grieve when pockets of darkness increasingly dim the love light. Return to me, your first love. Gaze at me in the splendor of holiness, and my love will once again envelop you in light. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." That was the reading for today. Today we're going to be talking about a very sensitive subject. We're going to be talking about sexual abuse. And today we have Corporal Smith with us from the Cornelius Police Department. Hello, Corporal Smith. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So we're going to dive right into this subject. I wanted to have a conversation to give some feedback on what steps to go forth if sexual abuse happens within a family. So first off, what is the very first thing to do to report sexual abuse if it does happen with a minor?
Right. So yeah, that's probably, honestly, probably one of the hardest parts of the whole process. And I think it's great that you're talking about this because it's a very, like you said, a very sensitive subject. But the very first step to reporting, you know, the abuse, especially for a minor, is to just to have somebody that you can trust and let them know. So whether, you know, that's a parent or guardian or a teacher at school or even a friend or somebody, you know, just somebody that you can trust that you can talk to and know that they're going to be there for you to help you throughout the process.
Okay, so once a victim actually, you know, communicates what they have been through, just on the police department perspective, what should they do first? Should they go to, you know, an emergency room to actually get a physical exam, or should they go directly to a police department to kind of report what is happening?
So, that's a really good question as well, because it's kind of situational dependent, which may sound kind of silly, but whatever you as the victim is more comfortable doing. You know, a lot of times when you go to the hospital or, you know, the emergency room, you're going to speak to a nurse there, and they're going to ask you a lot of questions that a detective from the police standpoint is going to ask you as well. So, you know, whatever you feel more comfortable doing, if it's, you know, if it had just occurred, you know, try to obviously remove yourself from that situation first. And then if you feel more comfortable, you know, calling us, the police first, you know, we're going to come out there and then we're going to either meet you where you're at or, you know, meet you at the hospital either way. So whatever you feel more comfortable with as the victim, that's always the right choice.
Okay. So can you give us just the process on reporting sexual abuse when a person does come to the police station? What is the process?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you were to come to the police station, you know, you walk into the lobby and say, "Hey, you know, this just happened to me." What's going to happen is if we've got a detective working, the detective's going to come down and talk with you. If we don't have a detective working, then one of our officers will come in and they will call a detective and they'll come in and speak with you. But what'll happen is you'll be brought into the police department, you know, behind the lobby, if you will. And you'll be taken to one of our interview rooms, which some people may get a little scared of. And those are just it's got a couple couches in there, some chairs, whatever that you can talk in. It's not like interrogation like you see on TV. It's a much more friendly and comfortable atmosphere. And then, like I said, you know, most likely the detective is going to come in and they're going to talk with you. and ask you as much of the details as they can. It potentially could be very uncomfortable answering some of the questions. And we don't want you to be uncomfortable, but of course this is a very, like you said, sensitive thing and potentially the most uncomfortable situation you can be in your life. So, there's going to be some tough questions and then some other easier questions to help us in the long run, hopefully, you know, be able to get the abuser or the assaulter and, you know, charge them and get them prosecuted. After that, like I said, we're going to get in touch with some medical professionals, you know, whether you're already at the, you know, hospital or if we go there with you, and they're going to ask you a whole bunch of things and, questions medically. Then we're going to do a whole bunch of follow-ups. You know, we'll stay in touch with you and your family, you know, just seeing how you're doing, if there's anything else, you know, maybe more information that post event you can remember. We're going to refer you to some resources, whether it's, you know, counselors or some other programs like Mobile Crisis, that they'll have a lot of assistance for you as well. And then, of course, from our police side, the ultimate goal at the end is to have the person charged and prosecuted. That's kind of the process from start to finish there.
So let's say a victim, you know, goes to a police department. They feel like they're not being listened to or that their reporting of what happened, it's not taking as serious as it should. What would be the next step for that victim to do?
So, of course, hopefully we're never put anybody in that situation or nobody anywhere has been in that situation. That's, in my opinion, you know, would be the worst case scenario. So what you can do is try to contact somebody's supervisor. You know, that's always the first step for us. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, supervisor or administration even. And then that will, you know, just get a different set of eyes on it and some people who are going to, you know, be able to assess the situation as well. And again, God forbid, even that doesn't work. You can always go to the news, you know, because a lot of times going to the news is going to get, they're going to push for information as well. And, again, we hope that never happens. And I know here in Cornelius, you know, where we're at, that would never be an issue at all. But those are two options for you if you feel as though you're not, you know, being taken seriously or if you're having some issues.
Okay. So if a victim is starting to get harassed by the abuser or they're trying to get in contact with them, what are some steps that victim can do to stop that harassment?
Yeah. So, initially you can call us, you know, because obviously we're going to be familiar with the case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course we deal with harassment, not just, you know, in this specific circumstance, but we deal with harassment on all sorts, you know, on all different levels. So, you know, we're familiar with that and we'll add that to our case report and things. That's going to help us again in that long run. But in the short term, we're going to try to get you also in contact with there's an organization here locally called Safe Alliance, and they help, they help a lot of people with, you know, domestic issues or victims of, you know, assaults and sexual abuse and things like that. And they can, along with us, we'll walk you through the process of getting what we call a no contact order, mm-hmm. which would, you know, go through the courts, and that would, you know, prevent the person from contacting you. And if they did, there would be, you know, criminal repercussions for that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if it's a family member that's doing it, there's another option, a domestic violence protection order, which is similar to a no contact order, but a little bit more serious because it's a domestic issue, usually a family member with that.
Okay. Well, we will be right back. We're going to take a short break for our sponsors. We'll be back with Corporal Smith. Welcome back to the Gripcast Gymnastics Unfiltered. I'm your host, Tamille Jones. And once again, today we're talking about sexual abuse. We have Corporal Smith with us from the Cornelius Police Department in from North Carolina. And so moving forward, if a victim is being abused by a family member, I know you touched a little bit on the orders that can be done with a situation like that. What would you advise? Because I know that's kind of a sticky, even stickier because it's within your family. So what kind of steps can that person do, especially if the right. person is around them?
Yeah. And that's, directly. You know, like I said earlier, you know, the first thing you want to do is, you know, be able to talk to somebody that you can trust, whether it's a family member or a close friend. Well, in this situation, you know, who can you trust other than the close family member or a close friend, you know? So that's probably got to be one of the scariest and, you know, worst situations for somebody to go through if they're a victim. But, you know, there are some people that you can still go to, you know, whether it's a counselor at school or a teacher. And they have what's called mandated reporters. So like your school counselors, that if you were to come to them and say, hey, you know, I was sexually abused or sexually assaulted, that person, like a school counselor, is required to contact the authorities and let them know about it. So, again, it's got to be extremely tough, and I hope nobody ever has to go through that. But there's a lot of times that your best resources, if it is a family member, a close friend, and then potentially if you've got another a close friend that you can talk to as well, or a different family member, maybe a cousin or an aunt or an uncle, if it's, you know, if it's not somebody directly in their family. But and then of course you can always contact DSS, and they would contact the authorities as well, but they're another resource as well.
Okay. I just want to say, you know, if this is happening to anyone out there, talk to someone. Don't hold it. Don't ignore it, because it will eat away at you and your life. Talk to someone. Someone will listen, even if you have to talk to more than one person. And I know it's difficult to even express what you have gone through, but someone will listen. So don't give up. There is help out there for you to give you that support that you need. So we're talking about a little bit of support. What would you recommend parents to do to help to support that child, or even them, if it's happened to them? What kind of recommendations would you suggest for those parents that are going through this within their families?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, because it's a lot of times, you know, the parents are going to be the, you know, like we talked about, the most trusted people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what you need. Somebody you can confide in, somebody you can trust. Some of the biggest things you can do is just listen, you know, listen to your son or daughter, and, you know, whatever they've experienced, like I said, is potentially one of the most uncomfortable and most traumatic experiences of their life. You know, don't judge them based on what they've told you, which I'm sure probably most parents won't, but just be there for them. Just be that support for them. And again, if, like you said, if you were a parent, you know, maybe this had happened to you or you're going through as well, you know, you can talk with somebody as well. Like you just said, you just talk with somebody, because you need that. You need that support, and there's going to be somebody to listen to you as well, that we really need that to help you get through it.
So within the police departments, do you actually have any support help going to a police department, or do you guys kind of outsource and give them other organizations to help with that support?
So here locally, in Cornelius, we're a smaller agency, so we don't have anything in-house, you know, specifically for that. Some larger agencies, like your big cities, like around us, you know, is Charlotte. I'm sure they have resources in-house. But what we do is, we, a lot of times, you know, we'll be there for you and throughout the whole process. But since we don't specialize in some of those emotional support type things, we have a couple of companies we use called Safe Alliance. Again, that's locally here in Mecklenburg County where we are. And then Mobile Crisis as well. And these all have, you know, trained and certified counselors that will come out and talk to you and help you get through the whole situation, hopefully.
Great. We do here at the GripCast, we do work with Pope Counseling Center. So we do have access to some counselors too. So if you are going through this, if you just contact us, we will help to get that support for you too. Can you give us some information how to get in touch with you, or also some local support groups that you know of that can assist any sexual abuse victims?
Yeah, so on a bigger scale, you know, as far as, you know, law enforcement goes, wherever you're at, contact your local authorities. You know, obviously here in the United States, call 911. That's going to get you, you know, your local police probably the quickest. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, you can, like we talked about earlier, you can walk into the lobby of a police department, you know, and go and talk with someone in person that way as well. Like I just mentioned, you know, there's, for us, you know, we have what we call Mobile Crisis or Safe Alliance, and those are, you know, big support groups.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Corporal Smith. Thank you so much for serving and protecting our community, but even more importantly, being able to have this sensitive conversation here on the GripCast. We surely appreciate you. We do want to thank the Cornelius Police Department. We also want to thank our sponsors, which is Anchor, Genesis United, Inc., and Pope Counseling Center for supporting this podcast. Also, Samadhi Divine Medicine for supporting this podcast, too. If you would like to send any donations, you may go to www.anchor.fm/Genesis United, Inc., or you may go to www.thegripcast.com. Thank you for listening each and every week. We appreciate you and your support. If you need anything, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You may even email to thegripcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to The GripCast. Gymnastics Unfiltered. Bye-bye.